Hi, Goodwach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are now up to, that's right, we're up to Chaye Sara. That's right. It's more about the life of Avraham Yitzchak than anything else, but we definitely remember Sarah's legacy. And a lot of that comes into place. The beginning of the Parsha is revolving around Sarah's burial. So that's very interesting. So what's also interesting is that the Parsha is actually full of bowing and kneeling, which is interesting. Avraham does it, Eliezer does it, and even the camels do it. By the camels, it uses the language of Vayavrech, which is very interesting. It's a very interesting lashon. Literally means he set them down on their knees, and Rashbam explains that camels actually have a double-jointed knee, and therefore they actually have to be set down in a certain way. However, the root of Vayavrech is actually identical to that of Bracha, Bet Reish Chaf. Why is a knee called a Berech, right? There's actually a lot of commentaries that talk about it, but there are many answers to this. One answer is that knees enable one to not only move and walk the way we do, but they also allow us to bow, right? And as Chazal explains, when reciting great blessings, such as the Beit HaMikdash, one would bow. Now, among the types of bowing, there are two diametric opposites. There is a simple bow, known as Hishtachaveh, which can be done with or without knees, and is somewhat of a curtsy. And it's a simple showing of thanks, a simple showing of respect. Now, in contrast to this, we have the Kode, which is the most difficult and labor-intensive bow to accomplish, and the Gemara states that very few people were actually able to accomplish this properly. However, when Eliezer witnesses Rivka's kindness that she exhibited by the well of the spring, and his wish request to Hashem was not only granted, but granted immediately, the Torah states, Vayikad Ha'ish, and the man, referring to Eliezer, bowed. Whether or not Eliezer went into the complex bow expressed in the Gemara, it's unknown. But it's clear that it's an expression of ultimate gratitude and an expression towards Hashem. In contrast, when Avraham met the Hittites, he was mishtachaveh. He didn't go to such an extent. He simply did a respectful bow. For a code is only reserved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when Eliezer relates the divine providence of his story to Rivka's family, he states that he did both a code and the hishtachaveh to Hashem. Right? The Torah only mentions that he did a code, right? It says by a code. It doesn't say the hishtachaveh, right? Or who hishtachaveh. So why does he mention both? Why is it like, so is he not telling the truth? Or is the Torah just not mention it? So, interestingly enough, it very well might have been that he's doing it in a certain way to reflect himself in a certain light amongst Laban and Rivka's family. They seemingly could not relate to the concept of complete submission to God. People who worship idols couldn't contemplate like a complete allegiance only to one divine being. Therefore, Eliezer had to include and also a more relatable form of bowing to her family, right? So he didn't just mention code, which is something which is reserved more for God, right? But rather something which everybody does. They just do a general bow, the Hishtachaveh, right? So he included both, though. He didn't only mention Hishtachaveh, because he also mentioned code, which demonstrated his enthusiasm and a certain belief of Hashem's role in the matter. He wasn't just trying to appease them. He also wanted to stress, as he did repeatedly, the role of Hashem in the Hashgacha Pratis that happened with Rivka. Now, as proof for this, the Torah writes, when they finished hearing Eliezer's story, as it says, Vayishtachu, right, and they bowed. It uses the language of Ishtachaveh rather than Hod. However, Rivka was not like the rest of her family, and perhaps did her code when she fell off the camel upon seeing Yitzchak for the first time. Now, it's interesting. The word, and she fell, is Vatipol, which is numerically only one away from the word Vatikda, which would mean, and she performed a code. Again, I'm not going to say it's a definite gematria because it's one away, and you have to be more careful with those, but it's definitely a possibility. Now, a further insight is given behind the concept of code. I'm going to now give a part of a dvar by Rav Yosef Trapper. It's one that I found on closetotorah.com. It's from 5772, and I'm going to quote his words, possibly inserting a couple of my own little injections, but it's mostly his words. The alphabet has 22 letters, and you can actually form different pairs known as the atbash. For those who are not familiar, the atbash is pairing the first letter with the last letter, so the aleph with the tav and the bet with the shin. And this is a Kabbalistic concept brought down in Sefer Yetzirah. Now, one of those matches, right, so aleph is with tav, bet is with shin, right, so the second letter, second to last letter. So you go two more and you get dalet and kuf, right, or alternatively kuf and dalet. That's one of those matches. So why are they related? So he quotes from Shimon Schwab, Zatzal, explaining that there's a deep connection between the Dalet, which corresponds to 4, and the Kuf, which is 100. Not the only time we see those numbers, by the way, but that's another story for another time. There's a rabbinical obligation to make 100 brachos a day. And according to strict Torah law, only 4 brachos are biblical. I mean, I've actually heard three, but he explains the four ones are Birkat HaMazon, Birkat HaTorah, Hafrashas Maaser, and Birkat Tefillah. The reason they often say three is because Hafrashas Maaser is not generally done nowadays, although obviously if you are a farmer in Eretz Yisrael or growing crops in Eretz Yisrael, then you actually do make a bracha on Maaser in that case. There are four Derech rites of brachos that you would make. But the rabbis saw the need to expand upon the Torah's obligation to bring more meaning to life, and therefore they expanded four into 100, right? So they had four Derech brachos, but they said, ideally, you should make 100 brachos a day. And that includes many, many rabbinical blessings. Probably the one we see the most often is either the Vero or Asher Yetzer. Now we see that the fourth letter, Dalet, in the Hebrew alphabet, and the fourth to last letter, Kuf, are connected and related to brachos, as we just mentioned. Now this is fascinating considering that the Gemara in Shabbos states that Dalet stands for Dal, a poor person, even though it also stands for Delet, meaning door, separate conversation. And then Kuf, even though it literally corresponds originally to a monkey, and Kaf, and it has a lot of different other possibilities, but the mystical significance of Kuf can often stand for Kadosh, the Holy One, Hashem. This is to the fact that we are poor, in a certain sense, perhaps of merit, and we make brachos to elevate ourselves and get closer to Hashem. Right? We are physical beings. We have limitations. We don't always do what we need to do, and therefore we use brachos to elevate ourselves. We thank Him for what He provides us with, and we do not simply expect to be taken care of. Rather, every gift is seen as divine countenance and love of Hashem. We fill our hearts with deep appreciation. Again, these are still Rav Trapper's words. Additionally, the word Dalet Kuf, Dak, right, in that order, means narrow or skinny. Now, the word Dak means also to scrutinize or pay particular attention, and this comes from the root of the word, which means to give one's narrow attention. And this teaches us that the ideal way to make brachos is to concentrate very fine focus on what we were reciting, something which is obviously not always so easy to do, especially if it's something that's more rote, but nonetheless, that's the ideal. Another fascinating point is that the reverse spells code, right, Kuf Dalet, which means to bow. The first time this word appears by Eliezer, as we mentioned, when he finds a way for Yitzchak, he was searching for the most kind and generous lady, and when she gave him, not him, just him water, but his camel's water, he knew that this was ultimately Min HaShemayim, and he bowed with a coat on the ground, thanked Hashem. He put his full faith in Hashem. Since the onset of his trip, he prayed and begged Hashem to guide him. Although Eliezer was a smart man, he did not rely on his own skills, but rather turned to Hashem for help. He turned to Hashem for guidance. And when he found Rivka, he immediately gives thanks to Hashem for guiding him to her. It's an incredible, it's like he's on a really difficult task, right? He doesn't know where to find Avram's family. He happens to be by a well where he knows there might be some women, and one of them might be from Avram's family. And like he's really kind of, like from a probability standpoint, he's really shooting at a needle in a haystack. So he's really relying, he's putting his emunah, his trust. Like there's so much that's talked about him being a true Eved, not just an Eved of Avram, but an Eved Hashem in a sense, right? He's putting so much faith in Hashem, and he doesn't know if it's going to work or not. But when it does, and he can see it so clearly, he has such amazing, amazing, intense gratitude. It is way more than Heshtachala, it's a code. He has such a deep connection to Hashem. A lot of that is through the influence of Avram. And he's a full recognition that only Hashem can truly provide us with our needs. Sure, we have to do what we can do. And we have to put ourselves and we have to make effort. But many times, it's really only through Hashem that we can achieve what we need to achieve. And ultimately, the foundation of brachos stands on this exact perspective. That when we bless Hashem, we're not saying, like, you know, we don't need to give Hashem our brachos, but rather it's forging a stronger connection and our appreciation of thanks, right? We have water to drink. We have food to eat. We have the ability to empty ourselves, whatever it might be, right? We're thankful, right? Brachos are mostly an expression of thanks or an expression of a commitment. And that strengthens our resolve and strengthens our connection to Hashem. And we don't always have to do it literally through bowing, which of course we do through the Amidah, even though it's not a code for a Morish Dachala. But we can also bow with our hearts, right? Every time we make a bracha, when we think about what we have and what Hashem's given us and how Hashem has helped us many times when we may have just been lost or trying to find a needle in a haystack. So try and keep that in mind and wish you all a fantastic Shabbat.